Good morning. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired. Hello and happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections from the Past, and for the next 30 minutes I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible. Today we're reading from the book of Matthew. We also read a book devotional called Jesus Calling, and that is written by Sarah Young. And we may reference some other well-known words from other well-known theologians and Christian writers. So let's begin with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your many blessings, and we thank you for the time we celebrated last week of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. He comes into this world, Lord, to teach us that loving you is our calling, to love you first and foremost in all things and at all times. May we continue to learn from Jesus this day and every day, that we may share your love with the world, with those we love, with those we know, and even strangers we come upon. Bless these words today, Lord. Help them to be embraced by us in our minds and our hearts. And we ask this, of course, in Jesus' name. Start with a devotional from Sarah. And today's devotional reads, "Trust me in every fiber of your being. What I can accomplish in and through you is proportional to how much you depend on me. One aspect of this is the degree to which you trust me in a crisis or a major decision. Some people fail miserably here, while others are at their best in tough times. Another aspect is even more telling, the constancy of your trust in me. People who rely on me in the midst of adversity may forget about me when life is flowing smoothly. Difficult times can jolt you into awareness of your need for me, whereas smooth sailing can lull you into the stupor of self-sufficiency. I care as much about your tiny trust steps through daily life as about your dramatic leaps of faith. You may think that no one notices, but the one who is always beside you sees everything and rejoices. Consistently trusting in me is vital to flourishing in my presence." Psalm 40, verse 4 reads, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false guides." Psalm 56, verses 3 and 4 says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. And God, whose words I praise, and God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" Psalm 62, verse 8 says, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." And then in the book of Isaiah, verse 26, 3 through 4 says, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is the rock eternal." Amen and amen. So last week, we kind of jumped into the book of Matthew. And what we did is we learned about Jesus' lineage. We learned about the events of his early life. And the lineage and the events of his early life all pointed to the fact that Jesus is King of Kings. And Matthew did that by reflecting and sharing with us some Old Testament scriptures that pointed that our Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, that our Messiah would be called a Nazarene. We saw kings from other places in the world come and worship and adore him. And we also saw that someone called John the Baptist came and baptized Jesus so that the fulfillment of the law could be made. And Jesus and God came and said, "This is my Son in whom I love and whom I'm well pleased." So as you can see, a lot of scripture, a lot of history pointing to Jesus as the Messiah. excited about today, and I'm excited about the next several weeks. I just love reading Scripture, and I love reading Scripture to you. But today, we start a really, really important part of the Bible. And this part is Jesus' sermons. And the record of Jesus' actions is interspersed with great passages about his teaching. And this section of Matthew is topical rather than chronological. So Matthew records to us the Sermon on the Mount, the parables of the kingdom, Jesus' teaching on forgiveness, and the parables about the end of the age. So let's go ahead and begin with this reading. We'll get as far as we can here during our time together. We're going to pick up with chapter 4, and this is verse 12. And again, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach Jesus' words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." I'm going to repeat that. Jesus' first words in his ministry in the book of Matthew are these: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, those that were paralyzed, and he healed them all. Large crowds in Galilee and the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the regions across the Jordan started following him. Chapter 5 and 6 and 7 are the Sermon on the Mount, really impactful and important chapters in the Holy Scriptures. And most of these words in my Bible are red, which means Jesus is the one professing these words. So I'm going to read them the best I can. For your hearts and minds and to take in and absorb and to learn. So chapter 5. Now when he saw the crowds, and that's Jesus, Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is a really interesting verse, and this is verse 11 and 12. And again, I'm going to read it. It says, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me, because of Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now I read this, and it excites me. It also concerns me. It excites me in the fact that here is God. Here's Jesus saying that for us to be rejoiced and be glad, and that there's great reward. Where I'm concerned is, I'm not sure if I share my faith overtly enough, proudly enough, confidently enough, for people to insult me, to persecute me, or say false things about me. And that challenged me at times to be a little more bold with my faith, to share it more openly, and to share it with people I don't know. And if they do insult me, and if they do persecute me, and if they do say false kinds of evil things, then I can rejoice and be glad. So my question is, can we, should we, be more bold than we are today? I can only answer for myself, and that answer is yes, I can, and I should, and I will try. Chapter 5, verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." Jesus teaches about the law. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus teaches about anger. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to his brother, 'Raca,' is answerable to the Sanhedrin. But anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with them on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid your last penny." Jesus teaches us about lust. "You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than the whole body going into hell." Jesus teaches about divorce. "It has been said anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery." Jesus teaches about vows. "Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. Jesus teaches about revenge. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. And if someone wants you to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Jesus teaches about loving enemies. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain down on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more for others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Take a moment. Chapter 5. And give a couple of examples. Jesus talked about murder. It's not enough just to avoid murder, but we should also avoid anger and hatred. So Jesus looks at things differently. He looks at the root of the problem, not just the problem. So for murder, avoid killing, of course, but we must avoid being angry, and we must avoid hatred. When we offer gifts, we offer regular gifts. We should always put God first with those gifts. From committing adultery, we should avoid adultery, of course, but keep our hearts from lusting. That's where the root is. For revenge, seek justice for ourselves, but show mercy and love others. We know what's wrong, but let's get to the root of the problem. Let's make sure we're solving that. So that's what Jesus encourages us to do. Chapter 6. Jesus teaches about giving to the needy. Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have not received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Jesus teaches about prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men, and when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Jesus teaches about fasting. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show that they are fasting. I tell you the truth, do they have received their reward in full? But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will be obvious to men that you are fasting, so that it will not be obvious to men that you're fasting, but only to the Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus teaches about money. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Jesus is calling us to have our treasure in God, in Jesus, in our faith for Him. That's what counts. That's what matters. It's not things. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus teaches about worry. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and even your Heavenly Father knows that they need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, I recently heard, and I wrote this down in my little prayer book, a saying. And the saying, I believe, says, worry is worshiping a problem. Prayer is worshiping your Creator. So when you find yourself worrying about something, reflect on that and realize that what you're worrying about is a way of praise of the problem that you have. Instead, what we should do is pray to God to help with the solution to the problem, or an understanding of what the problem is, because that problem may be indeed a way for us to be closer to God, and should be a way for us to be closer to God. Chapter 7. Jesus teaches about judging others. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own? How do you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they will trample under their feet, and then turn and tear you into pieces. Jesus teaches about asking, looking, and knocking. Ask, and it will be given to you. Let me repeat that. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to whom knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. This sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus teaches about the way to heaven. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus teaches about fruit in people's lives. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Jesus teaches about building on a solid foundation. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and the beat against the house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds a house on sand. Then rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of their teachers of the law. Well, that was the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. What great wisdom. I hope you enjoyed that on this last Sunday of 2019. I'm just amazed at the love that God has for us, that he had these words spoken through mankind to write these into the Bible, that we can learn them today in 2019 and soon in 2020. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, I'd like to wish you and your family a very happy new year. We've run out of today's time, and please be sure to join us again next week. If you have any questions or comments, please provide them. Your feedback is always requested. May God bless you and your family this day and every day. Peace, and God bless.